Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Merry Christmas Eve to you. All right, so Megan Eni Greer, a treasure hunter from Treasure Quest, Snake Island, Season 2, is going to join us a little later. Actually, you know, I should change that. Treasure Finder, if you saw the finale of the show. She's going to join us a little bit later on this hour on the big show. We'll get an update of where things are going with her and maybe hit her up for a loan or two. However, in the meantime, I have my good friend Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine on Scuba Radio. Merry Christmas to you, Jerry. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, Greg. Merry Christmas to you, too. Happy New Year.
Back
looking forward
you.
To a big one in 17.
Yes. You know, we saw each other at the DEMA show there a few weeks ago in Vegas, and I don't know, the vibe was pretty positive. Everybody was pretty excited about the prospect for the new year. I guess time will tell and see how things shake down. But that was kind of the vibe you got, wasn't it?
Yeah, I tell you, it just goes to show you can't predict anything fully, because I thought it was going to be a little stress show.
Yeah.
And it was the most positive and powerful show I think we've done in 5-6 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's definitely going to be some changes here for the new year. So maybe just that, you know, that option of not really knowing what's going to go. Hopefully it'll go in the right direction. People were definitely talking and buzzing and talking about doing some new things business-wise in the dive industry. So hopefully that'll be a positive thing for everybody, including Jerry Beatty of Dive Training Magazine and our crew here at Scuba Radio. Now, I got to tell you, Jerry, you know that I've still been recovering from my open heart surgery thing, and I'm not cleared to dive until February 1st. So I get a little cabin fever, but it's the holiday, so I'm just kind of hanging with the family and doing that and, you know, planning accordingly for the year. But you, like, went straight from Vegas to your next dive site or something. Am I right?
Pretty much, yeah. I was only home a couple days. But, you know, you're a pretty sneaky guy because you did get a dive in.
I did,
at
yes.
SEMA.
That's right. That was good. That was very refreshing. I did my, you know, pool dive there in the Go Dive Now pool. And we got some great pictures up there at scubaradio.com from DEMA that you can see a bunch of that stuff from. But it was all 4 foot deep, so it didn't really count as a real dive per se. But I got to tell you, you know, it was very refreshing, and it felt good to get back under the water. You know what I'm saying? Just, it was weird. And when I got back under, I was like, oh, man, I forgot how much fun this was. But I was so wrapped up in the event, and everybody was hanging around. I didn't really have time to really kind of absorb the whole thing until after. And I was like, gosh, that felt really good. I got like a second wind here today on the DEMA show floor, just being refreshed and being underwater, you know, and all that kind of. So I'm jonesing. I got cabin fever to get out there now, but I'm not officially cleared until February 1st. So I gotta wait, which kind of blows, literally.
Well, I figured it'd make it worse, you know, yeah. Kind of get that feel going on.
Get a taste. Yeah, it's like, here's what you've been missing. And then I get to talk to people like Jerry, who went to do some cool diving right from DEMA to rub it in. So go ahead, take your best shot there, my friend.
Well, I took off the Cayman Islands. Always a good, dependable, you know you're going to have a good one, kind of place.
Absolutely.
It's one of the world's best dive destinations for a whole long list of reasons. But now, with the project I just did for a nonprofit foundation called Sea of Change, it's got more things on the list.
Yeah.
We actually created 4 new coral nurseries on Grand Cayman.
How about that? So where? On different parts of the island on Grand Cayman or one particular area or what?
That would be correct. Actually, okay. We put one down. What happened? Let me back up a little. The Department of Environment issued permits, and a permit was issued to Dive Tech at their lighthouse location, which is up on the west side of the island.
Okay.
Sunset House.
Mm-hmm.
Got a permit, which puts it right in the center near Georgetown Harbor, and then Ocean Frontiers out on the east end got a permit. So we actually have gardens spread up and down across the island, which is really great because they all have different growing conditions. They have different genotypes of coral. So we're going to get a real idea of what can happen down there. We started the garden in April. We have 4,700 fragments of coral hanging on coral trees across the island.
Hmm. Now, is that kind of, since you did it right after Dima and the time of year, you could call these coral Christmas trees, couldn't you? Why not?
Yeah, you know, that is a great idea, although hanging lights on them is going to be a little difficult, but, you know, I'll have to look into that.
Okay, fair enough. But you say over 4,000 bits of coral were transplanted or planted on these trees that are anchored off the coast of Cayman there, or what?
That is correct.
Wow. So what kind of coral are we talking? Staghorn or a little bit of everything or what?
It's predominantly staghorn. We do have one elkhorn permit, and we will be looking towards more of that in 17 as the project continues. But when we hung them, they were 5 centimeters long.
Okay.
When we went this trip, they were 10 to 12 centimeters long. If you do the math on that, we have grown since April 447 linear feet of coral. Now, put that in perspective, Greg, that's a football field and a half of coral that's been grown on these trees in a matter of months.
Sweet. Now, are they hanging from, like, anchor ropes on these trees, or are they anchored already to the reef? Because isn't that how it works? You guys set them up on these trees or, like, a string or something that floats, and then you transplant them, actually attach them to a reef, or am I wrong?
So you're close.
Okay.
We put an anchor in the hard bottom,
mm-hmm.
and then we have a PVC tree with nylon arms. That does look like a Christmas tree, actually, a bit, and the float on the top. And then we come back, and on the arms with monofilament line, you hang the corals, and you tag them all from where you got them. So every time you cut a coral, a natural coral, to use a fragment of, you label that so you know exactly where it came from. That way you can genotype them back to see which were the strongest, sturdiest, and fastest-growing corals, and then those are the ones you want to keep reusing.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
On this trip, what we did was we went to a tree we had put when... You remember when the Carnival Magic dropped an anchor there in Grand Cayman?
Yes, unfortunately, I do. Yeah,
it's a nasty memory.
Yep.
But that has been completely recovered.
Oh, cool.
And put back together by a volunteer team down there, and they had a tree of fragments that hung for all the little stuff that couldn't be planted back, and we outplanted that this trip.
How about that? Okay.
And that's a whole different kind of thing to do. You've got to actually clean the bottom, scratch it down to where it's firm, take the coral bit, epoxy it down, and I tell you what, that's time-consuming.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, a lot of man hours, a lot of volunteer hours to make something like that happen. Now, as far as the coral trees that you guys have planted, like you said, you track where the coral fragments come from that you're trying to grow, so you know which ones are going to be the most hardy or quickest growing.
Correct.
But you got them in three parts of Grand Cayman or in the islands there. So are you comparing the areas as well to see if the environment that it's in is growing faster than one area than the other kind of thing too, or what?
That's exactly what we're doing, Greg. We got to take you on the next trip.
Yeah, I want to do this. I've heard about these coral trees so much. You know, it started down there in the Keys, I believe, right?
Absolutely. Coral Restoration Foundation down in Key Largo actually has permits to grow coral in the National Marine Sanctuary. And their operation has just grown to a level that you can't believe. I'd like us to do a live radio broadcast from their gardens because It's just magnificent. And your listeners can go down, volunteer. Coral Restoration Foundation will take them out the garden, teach them how to do this stuff, and they look for volunteers all the time. So if somebody's interested in looking into this, go to coralrestorationfoundation.org and get the info.
And if you want to go help the folks in Cayman, it's what, cfchange.org, something like that, right?
Yeah, cfchange.com. You can go on there, okay. Get the information. CF Change actually is a nonprofit foundation that's self-funded. And every year they do a different project. And this year they chose to fund all the coral garden work. And now we've got something, I mean, it didn't exist before. So I'm really very, very proud of what they did.
As you should be. Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine is our guest. We got more with him next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You stink. You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Dear Santa, bring me a manta. That's all I want for Christmas this year. Don't need snow or mistletoe. A sleigh full of presents or a bunch of little reindeer. I've been thinking about sinking down into the briny blue. A nice warm day and a big old manta ray would make my Christmas wishes come true.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That is the Scuba Cowboy. Santa, please bring me a manta.
Hey, thanks for all the presents, big guy.
Yes, you got it.
All the best from the Scuba Cowboy.
I'll have to call him tomorrow and find out if indeed he got a manta, you know, under the tree. It'll leave a big slimy mess, I'm sure. But it'd be well worth it, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Sure it would.
Jerry Beatty from Dive Training is my guest right now. So, Jerry, as we approach the end of the year, you know, it's only natural that we, you know, look forward to our diving adventures for 2017. You got a few on your list or resolutions you've made diving-wise or what?
Yeah, I definitely do. In fact, I wasn't going to go anywhere until after February, but actually in 2 weeks I'm headed down to BVI. So I'm putting a list together. But right now, Greg, I'm more interested in where Greg is going to be on February 1 when the doctor says, go diving, Greg, and where your first dive is going to be and what your list is.
Well, I'll tell you what, my list is just to get wet. I don't really care where I go so much as I get in the water and start diving again. I have been talking to the dive god, Neil Watson, and we've been talking about doing some stuff maybe over in Bimini and trying to catch the tail end of the season of the hammerheads over there in Bimini. But I figure I'm going to run down to the Keys. You know, I'm based right here in Orlando, Florida, and it's just a few-hour drive for me to run down to Key Largo or something like that and do some quick, easy diving to get, you know, just get back getting wet again. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I got a proposition for you. I think that's a great idea, actually.
Okay.
Now, catching the tail end of the sharks there in Bimini, you know, it's hard to turn down. But
absolutely,
if you're going to be in the Keys,
yeah,
I say, let me meet up with you. We'll go out to the Coral Restoration Foundation. We'll get them to take us out the garden, and you can see the whole proposition that they've got going down there. I think it'll make a great radio show.
I love it. I love that idea. Now, so they're in Key Largo? I thought they were a little further down in the Keys.
No, they're right there in Key Largo, I think mile marker 100. And I can set the whole thing up for you. I'll get Ken Niedermeyer, the president, to come out with us. And we'll have a grand old time.
Oh, I love this idea. Okay. And yeah, and when they have those coral reefs, that's not very deep either, right? Isn't it pretty shallow?
Yeah. And it's, you know, get you back in the water. We'll do 25, 30 feet dives. And we'll teach you the whole process of everything from how to hang them to how to clean them.
Okay, and we're talking about coral, right?
We're talking.
Okay, I'll just
well, you know how it is in the Keys, but we'll start out
exactly
with coral.
That's why I had to clarify that just a tad. But yeah, okay, I love that idea, you know, and that's the idea. You know, my cardiologist, she even said, she goes, you know, February 1st, you're good to go. That'll be your 6-month mark. And then, you know, but go easy. Start slow. And I was like, all right, I'll do some shallow dives, maybe down in the Keys, Bimini. You know, even that hammerhead thing in Bimini is only like 20 feet of water, Neil says. So I'm going to do some shallow stuff and then kick it up a notch. June, I have a big liveaboard planned for Saba St. Kitts with the 30-year anniversary of Explorer Ventures. I got that. And from there, we got Turks and Caicos in October. Our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, all the details are right there at scubaradio.com. But I don't know. I got some other things up my sleeve I'm still working out. But, you know, I'm going to take it slow, ramp it up a little bit. You hear what I'm saying? But you're going to the BVIs, huh?
I'm headed to the BVIs on the 9th of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to getting down. I'm going to do Tortola. I'm going to go over to Virgin Gorda. Hey, who knows? I might run over to Joyce Van Dyke and go to Foxy's.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. What about New Year's Eve? Are you doing one of those New Year's Eve dives, or are you just laying low in Texas for through the holidays?
I'm laying low in Texas. I think I was probably home 100 days this year.
Yeah.
I think I need to suck up the last few of them right here at the house.
Well, that makes sense. What about 2017, resolution-wise, diving, when it comes to diving for you there, Jerry? Are you got some places that you plan to knock off the list? Have you got that far ahead?
I put the list together, and I've got to get back on the horse. You know, I only probably did 100 dives this year, Craig.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm feeling like a loafer here. I've got to get back up to that 200 mark.
Yeah.
So I'm really going to try to be in the water a whole lot more.
Okay. All right. So the goal is just to be wetter.
Wetter.
In 2017. Because you travel all over the world. I mean, it's crazy how much traveling you do, but a lot of times you're just going to do a little networking with people here and there and that kind of thing, and the diving has a tendency to be secondary, I guess. Is that right?
Well, you know, I try not to let that happen,
but
it really helps if they have shore diving so I can sneak in a dive before breakfast or between meetings or, you know, however I can. When it's all boat diving, it makes it a little more difficult.
Yes. Well, you know, last year we were supposed to do our Maldives trip together, and I had a little issue with that one, but you got out there to mark that one off the list. You got anything exotic planned, you know, along those lines in 17 yet, or are you still working on it?
I'm working on Australia.
Australia.
I'm working on it. You know, when you're a diver and you meet people and they hear you're a diver, Australia, have you done Australia? It's one of the first things people ask you, and
sure.
I have to say no.
Really?
Yeah, so I have to fix that.
Okay, so I went there, it's probably been 10 years now. So you want to go out to the Great Barrier Reef, Queensland, that area?
Absolutely. Go to Cairns and just see what I can find.
Yeah. Oh, man, you'll have a trip of a lifetime. That'll be a great adventure. But, yeah, it's a long way to go. Well, that's on the opposite side of the planet for us in the U.S. You hear what I'm saying, Jerry?
I hear what you're saying.
So don't fly.
I'm real aware of those long
ones.
Yes,
exactly. Well, don't fly straight there. You got to do something on the way. You know, that's my point. Like, even when we were doing the Maldives, I was going to stop off in Tokyo and do a little something there in Tokyo. But obviously, my plans changed.
Yes, they did. And yeah. We missed you.
Well,
you missed
okay.
A really good trip. And I'll tell you what, Explorer Ventures, with their Carpe Vita and their Carpe Nova, have got two of the slickest boats afloat.
Yes. Well, I'm planning to hit Clay up, and we may get out there in the first quarter, back out to the Maldives. Agnes was there at the DEMA show, the one who runs the boat there. The new one, the Carpe Nova and Avita, for that matter. And she has invited me to come back if I can talk Clay into, you know, flying me over there or something. I don't know. We're going to see if we can coordinate schedules. So I'll have to call you and see if you can jump on board again, too. You'd be up for spending another week in the Maldives, wouldn't you?
On that boat, with those folks, absolutely.
All right. Well, there you go. And I'm sure we'll read about some of this stuff in upcoming issues of Dive Training Magazine, the best dive magazine on the planet that, of course, Jerry Beatty is a big part of. Jerry, always a pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We will catch up again soon, my friend.
Happy diving soon.
Absolutely. More coming up with Megan Heaney-Greer, treasure hunter, or maybe we need to change that to treasure catcher. She's next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And on the line, I have Megan Heaney-Greer, a treasure hunter, or should I say treasure getter from Treasure Quest Snake Island. Megan, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody out there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm good, but I would imagine everybody on your Christmas list is making out like bandits. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I wish it was that simple, Greg. Wouldn't that just be lovely?
It
you
would
know,
be
life
beautiful.
Is never that uncomplicated.
Well, I got to say, you must be a world-class poker player, because at the DEMA show in Vegas, you know, we talked a little bit when we caught up there at the show. And, you know, I asked you a little bit about the show and stuff. And I was like, well, obviously you didn't get any treasure because you're here. And then, lo and behold, I watched the season finale of Treasure Quest Snake Island on Discovery Channel last Friday, and I see that you guys did find something. That was crazy.
Wasn't that exciting?
That was awesome.
Right? I know. I, like, get a big smile on my face just thinking about it. It was an absolute exhilarating experience for sure. And, you know, I mean, of course I've been getting tons of questions on social media and, you know, you guys and all mm-hmm. sorts of stuff, which the number one question is like, did you get to keep it? And did you get?
Right.
And so I, you know, the whole thing here is to me, and it always has been with me, is the value. I mean, obviously there's no mistaking that the treasure of the Trinity is worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in today's world. It's a very, very valuable, treasure, mm-hmm. but the historical significance, it's priceless, right?
Sure.
Because that's something you can't replace. That's something that can't be repeated. It can't, you know, it's a piece of history. And so it's not as cut and dry or as, you know, just like, it's not a neatly tied up package as far as like, oh, wow, cool, you found treasure, here you go. You know, and so it's, Unfortunately, I can't even disclose a bunch of stuff because there's still work being done and there's still things underway. And so, and I'm under an NDA with Discovery Channel. So,
all right. Well, hold on, Megan, because I got to get my paperwork together and ask for a loan. That's coming up next
right
on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Yes, the Santa here is stomach virus. Now I'm filling in, bringing toys to all the Gentile boys and girls.
We'll take it. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Megan Heaney Greer, treasure hunter from Treasure Quest Snake Island. Season 2 just wrapped up, and she found treasure. So everybody on her Christmas list is like getting all kinds of crazy stuff, new cars, houses, you name it. Am I on that list? I bet I'm on one of your lists, but not the one that I was hoping for. You hear what I'm saying, Megan?
I think my friends and family are all wishing that was a true statement.
Yes. Okay. But, all right. So how many loan applications have you gotten from your friends and family? And
Right. No. Yeah. So really, I mean, man, it's like there's so much. It's very layered, the treasure hunting and treasure finding world, you know. So there's a lot of things going on, things mm-hmm. that some of them are like, you know, way above my pay grade that I don't even know about that are getting worked on and things like that. But I'll tell you what, it really was exciting. You know, being able to be part of that and put my hands on a piece of history like that, and just to be part of that expedition and adventure. It was a heck of a ride, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know, and you say it's kind of ongoing, and you guys leave finding, you know, just a few samples of what obviously is the tip of the iceberg, I guess. Does that lead us into a potential season 3, or are you allowed to say yet?
That's always a possibility, right? But I don't really know yet. So it's definitely a possibility. I mean, it's you know, like I said, it's layered and it's kind of a complex thing with different the financing needs to come from somewhere, you know, to go on expeditions like this. So it's kind of that in itself is a multifaceted system as well. So, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's always a possibility. And I definitely encourage everybody to stay tuned, because, if you want to be the first to know about these types of things coming up in, you know, my adventures, definitely, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, will be where I'll announce those things first for sure. So you can find all that on my website, MeganHaneyGreer.com, and then my Facebook handle and Twitter as well. And Instagram is just my name. So it's at Megan Haney Greer.
Absolutely. And you've been posting a lot of cool little videos behind the scenes from the show and that kind of stuff too. So you can get a little behind the scenes look of what's been going on with the show as well. What has happened since? I mean, how much can you say? I know, you know, there's certain, TV is so much more difficult than radio because they don't let you do anything until the stuff airs.
Oh my God. I know. It's so frustrating. It's like, it forces me, you know, to do this bobbing and weaving because mm-hmm. I have to. And it's like, I want to just, you know, tell everybody everything because it's so exciting. And so I'm having to like duct tape my mouth, you know, but anyway, I can't talk a whole lot about those details, but mm-hmm. There's definitely, you know, things going on and discussions being had and we'll kind of see where everything goes to. And then, I'm always ready for another adventure, whether it's, you know, another expedition down in South America after the treasure or something of a totally, totally new nature. But
sure.
I,
but it's safe to say the story is definitely not over yet. We'll leave it at that.
The story is the story's never over. It's kind of, I had a professor once that said a paper is never finished, it's just due. And it's kind of the same thing, you know, with this expedition. I mean, it was time to put what we had, found already out there. And that was what was documented on the series. And, but the story's never over. With history, there's always something new to uncover. So,
Now, last time we spoke to you, it was right before the finale, or about a week or so before. And you were telling me, I asked you if there was going to be some diving in it. Boy, you were right. I mean, that's where how you found it, free diving. I loved it. I thought that was so cool.
Oh, that was like the most amazing place to explore free diving. I mean, it was hair-raising.
That's what I wanted to ask about, because, you know, the free diving's one thing, but it was like the currents and everything. It did not look like the safest environment to be doing that type of stuff. Am I right, or was it played up just a tad? What can you say?
No, it definitely wasn't the safest place in the world, but none of these places are, you know? And so, I mean, if you really need to stick with the safe stuff, you're going to have to stay in a pool. And then on top of it, you got to have a safety diver, right? Because even in a pool, free diving can go awry. But it's, really, man, it was so exciting though that it was this black basalt rock and it's just riddled by the elements in time, you know, it like literally is Swiss cheese, and there were all these different caverns and then these holes that would cut through. So that was really, the most, kind of scary part, you know, when you're free diving is I'm like exploring and I'm going, okay, I can see light over there, I think. And so I'm going in and I have my flashlight and, you know, I did multiple dives and one time my flashlight started dying and I was like, oh my God, this is a bad situation, because I was like down on the bottom and you could go back. There was this one particular area where you could go under the ledge. And so the guys were like standing right above me with the ROV and they were standing on the rock on this ledge. And I went under the ledge and went into this hole that was tiny and thinking, okay, I can just back out. And it like opened up to this whole other cavern under there. I mean, it was just a amazing system of rock down there. Yeah.
Boy, was there air pocket then? And so you went in, so you had to go in and come back out.
I had to go in and come back out and you got to make sure you don't lose your way out. Right.
Sure,
because
then,
So it was definitely hair raising, and you know, we set up certain safety measures and things like that. So I'm not a reckless free diver by any means. And you know, the first time that water was really cold, I had a couple times when we had gotten there, some of my gear was in a different location, and so I was like, all right, I'm just gonna get in. We gotta explore this one, because we were trying to make sure we were at the right spot, you know, and find those rocks. Mm-hmm. Like we were all calling it the dino egg, because it literally looked like, to us, you know, I mean, not that I'm a dinosaur egg expert or anything, but it looked like a dinosaur egg.
It did. I would agree. When they found that, or when your buddy found that on that weird outcropping rock or something, I was like, how do they make that connection between that and that river system? I mean, your guide seemed to know, like, well, this is the only place I've seen. I was like, wow, it was like one of those puzzles that there's no way in hell I would have had any clue what to do with that. I would like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know?
Yeah. Well, and we really had to start unpacking that, you know, and that's what a big part of this type of expedition and hunt is about, is really just taking what you find and then, you know, you're throwing theories out there and hypothesizing, and you're going, well, what about this? Well, no, that's stupid. That's not going to work. Or what about this? Does that make sense? And you're really, really just trying to put this giant jigsaw puzzle together, and half the time you're going blind. And so there's a lot of stuff over the whole course of the expedition that just doesn't end up getting into the show, because we only have a certain amount of time and real estate there for, you know, the post-production to pick what is really relevant to the story that needs to be shared so people can understand where we're going and why. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of book reading, I guess, where you guys are just sitting around there looking at books and they're like, we don't need this in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. We're researching and looking at it and looking at the minerals in the rock and trying to figure out like where it could have come from. And then having our local guide, Emilio, he's an amazing guy and very knowledgeable about the area and stuff. And so he was really helpful with that and had actually been to some areas that had those rocks. And that was kind of what led us, as it was described in the show, led us to that other, you know, to the right location there. And right. I jumped in, though, in my bathing suit. And, man, it was so cold. But I was like, we can't wait. We just got to do it. We got to go. And so I jumped in. It was funny, though, because I was getting some comments. And I just have to share it because we're all divers here, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I was getting some comments like, oh, why would she jump in her bathing suit without safety gear and this and that? And it's like, well, okay, so wetsuit isn't technically safety gear. It just keeps you warmer.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you don't get scratched up. But it was pretty funny that I was getting some of those comments. And it's like, man, I dive in a bathing suit all the time. It's my uniform.
Well,
like,
yeah, I just figured.
What's the deal?
I just figured you did that just for ratings. You hear what I'm saying,
no,
Megan?
No, I hear what you're saying. And that was part of this guy's point, too. And I'm like, guys, I dive in a bathing suit all the time. So unless I'm in, like, this, and this was a different river system as well, but your wetsuit's not going to protect you from anything that, you know, these, you're going to get in these rivers anyway. But anyway, yeah, so I just was getting a kick out of that. And I did want to say that, you know, we did set up safety measures with lines and different things like that, which isn't, you know, reviewed in the show, but definitely safety is top priority. And when I got the rest of my gear, it was, like I said, in a different location from where we were. So
Megan Heaney Greer is our guest right now from Treasure Quest Snake Island. More with her next on this special Christmas Eve edition of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
You like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Win the experience of a lifetime. Patty is giving away a dive trip in paradise to the diver who receives Patty's 25 million certification. Complete your next Patty course and you'll be entered to win a dream dive vacation for you, a dive buddy, and your Patty instructor. Or encourage family and friends to get Patty certified and bring you along as their dive buddy should they win. The more certifications you get, the better your chance of winning. Visit patty.com/dream25 to learn more.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Let us eat, drink, and be merry.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure you treat me nice. And I feel just like
this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Megan Heaney Greer is my guest right now on this Christmas Eve. She just wrapped up, or they just wrapped up, season 2 of Treasure Quest Snake Island, where they found the treasure of the Trinity. And Megan has been nice enough to spend a little bit of her holiday time with us today and give us a little behind the scenes, you know, look of what's been going on with that. I mean, is this a life-changing thing for you, by the way, Megan? I mean, obviously, just going was one thing, but finding the treasure and what happened has to be, I don't even know what that must feel like.
Right. Yeah, it definitely, I mean, it definitely blew my mind, you know, to start finding pieces of the treasure of the Trinity down there. It's really exciting. And in a lot of ways, yeah, to be able to, you know, put yourself in that, you know, like just try and imagine the history surrounding it and like, you know, to be unearthing that and bringing that up from these different water systems is really exciting. And really, I mean, I feel very, just really lucky and blessed to be part of this type of history and this expedition. It's good stuff. So it still is underway. I can't talk a whole lot about the different things going on, but there's a lot of exciting things going on and you know, planning and things like that. So we'll see what, you know, see what it produces and where it goes.
Yeah. But, well, we'll be following it. We'll tell everybody about season 3 if they announce it any time soon. But definitely
if that comes up, yeah.
Yes, definitely the story could continue. I have no doubt about that. Now, what about this? That was like a 4-month period when you guys went to, I don't know, Brazil last year and filmed all this stuff. So that obviously it's not the whole year and you're in the holidays now. I mean, what's next? I mean, I know you just spent some time with family down in the Keys there and doing some stuff like that. But are you doing anything else or is this like your full-time gig right now? Or can you
right.
Say?
Well, yeah. Well, this is just right now. I'm in some downtime, taking some much appreciated time with the family and things like that. But yeah, I have a couple different projects that I'm working on. Some I can talk about. Some I can't yet. Mm-hmm. But I have I'm diligently working on my YouTube channel and my Off the Map video series up there. So I have some new videos that are going to be coming out there. And that in particular is just kind of sharing my take, you know, on and experiences on the Treasure Quest expeditions, but also some other adventures that I've been on and things like that. So that's coming up. And I have a couple other playlists, I guess you'd call them, that I'm working on for YouTube as well, just with that. And then also I have some speaking engagements coming up. You know, I've been working in front of the camera for a very long time, but I also do public speaking. And so just talking about adventure and for me, how that has set a tone for my life of overcoming fear and really, you know, kind of grabbing that by the horns and being able to harness that and make it work for me. And really just about, I guess kind of in a way, just hopefully inspirational, motivational in the sense of tapping into what makes you happy and what makes you want to wake up in your world when you wake up in the morning.
Sure.
And yeah, so I'm working on some things like that. And then I have a couple exciting dive trips coming up that are work-related that I can't talk about yet. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
so
I want to hear about those when you can talk about them. And I'm guessing this Treasure Quest Snake Island thing could be the springboard to something bigger. Surely the publicity you've been getting around the show has been huge. I see all the numbers and followers you have on Facebook. It's just growing and growing as more people see the show. And like, hey, I want to be this girl. She's so amazing. She does all this. And I was like, this is nothing. You should have seen her back in the day when she was swimming with hammerheads and alligators. That's when I knew her. But
Right. Well, but, yeah. I hope there's some more of that coming up, too. You know, a big my number one thing also is, you know, I've been a lifelong marine conservationist, and so I've been doing a lot of different things like that as well. I just did the Blue Ocean Summit, and that was the webinar that aired the first week in December, and I'm always working on different things like that because I work with a few different nonprofit organizations and. Yeah, so I mean, I have a lot of exciting things going on like that. And that really is like, for me, Greg, is really bringing it, everything that I'm doing and all these adventures, and it's all super exciting and I love it. And it really does tap into what keeps me going, you know, as far as like the adventure. But at the same time, a big driving force for me is bringing that back around and tying it all together with marine conservation. So really, it's about being able to connect with people and reach people and talk
and
about
give back
different
a
important
bit.
Things. Well, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Use that platform to do good. So I was struggling to explain it to a friend, and he was like, so basically you're trying to use your superpowers for good. And I was like, yeah, that's
there
a great way to describe it.
Yeah. God knows you got a bunch of them. I mean, it's not just
I'm
one.
Oh, man, I'm trying.
Yes. You really have worked it well there, Megan, and I'm very proud of what you've done over the years and the stuff that you've done on Treasure Quest. I said this at the Dima show in front of everybody. I said, this is the ambassador for divers that we need to show the world. I mean, she's just setting a great example for everybody, and hopefully that it does inspire other people to follow in your fin kicks and grow this sport and, I don't know, share the love. That's what it's about, especially during the holidays, right?
Yeah, right on. Well, thanks,
absolutely.
Greg. That's really nice. I appreciate that. And likewise, man, I you and I have been longtime friends for what, 20 years now? You guys have your 20 year anniversary coming up.
That's right.
And all the divers of the world appreciate what you guys do. So.
Well, thank you, Megan. And once again, follow Megan on Facebook, MeganHeneyGreer.com, right?
You can start on my website, MeganHeneyGreer.com. And yeah, all my social media channels are there. And I encourage people to connect because I'm pretty active on all of my channels. And it's me. I love connecting with people.
Hey, it's one of her superpowers. All right, that'll do it. Merry Christmas, Megan.
Merry Christmas, man, and happy holidays to everybody out there listening.
And that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.